Welcome to Life Ride Podcast with Roos and Rizzo.
We're so happy you found your way to our podcast and that you want to share this ride called life with us.
We're here to bring you inspiration,
motivation,
juicy topics,
everyday magic,
amazing guests, and much, much more related to life and your well-being.
Because as the yogis, health coaches, and life-loving women we are, we'd like to invite you to join us on this ride. So buckle up and put your helmets on.
Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode.
We're sitting here with one of the greatest, in my opinion, nudity photographers, yeah. Savannah Wishart. And it's so beautiful that your name is Wishart. We were just discussing that.
Amazing.
Yeah. The world wishes for art. And here, Savannah gives us that.
Yes.
So you're working a lot with photography and coaching as well?
Yeah. My background, my degree is in commercial and advertising photography, and I've done a lot of food work. But then over the last, 5 years or so, I felt like the commercial work was just losing its spark for me in creating art and just, the focus on monetizing art as well. And then I started to shift into fine artwork with nudity. And the project actually began with something I called morning coffee. And so I would sit in front of my mirror naked in the mornings and just look at myself. And it started because I left an abusive relationship. And my life felt like it was unraveling around me. And I had a history of insecurity and being bullied as a child and never being good enough or never being enough. And then when I left this relationship, I also lost suddenly 5 kilos or so, just I think from the toxicity of that relationship. And even though I was always active, that just fell away. And then for some reason, I had this idea that if I sat with myself in front of the mirror and I removed the layers, or it wasn't an idea. There's a photographer that I was following at the time, and he would post pictures of surfing, and he hashtagged morning coffee. And that started getting me thinking, a morning coffee doesn't have to be coffee. It can be an idea or a concept. It's less about the coffee, but more about a ritual to invigorate the day and to start your day with this infused spark of passion and aliveness.
Yeah,
I love that. So that got you started with this morning routine. And when did you, how close into that breakup did you start with this routine?
It was within a couple weeks, I think.
Really? Beautiful.
I had just gotten to Stockholm. I was trying to make a home for myself, and I had actually needed to leave the country to also leave this relationship, and then it kind of tumbled down, and I was lost and staying with some friends here. And then something about the morning routine kicked into me, and I just realized, coffee for so many of us, it doesn't even serve its original purpose.
No.
It's just become this automated thing, and it's not a mindful ritual anymore. And the caffeine probably isn't doing that much because we're all over-caffeinated.
Yeah.
So
how did this routine look like?
I would make my coffee, and I would just be naked in the morning with myself, and I'd sit with my journal. I would write. I felt like at the time my life was falling apart, but of course it was all for the better, and it needed to happen. And it was really falling. It was falling apart to fall back together, like a puzzle, kind of I put the puzzle together and the pieces are all wrong, but then I had to shake it up again and then do it right.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful metaphor.
When you started doing these routines and you come from a history of not being comfortable naked, how were you feeling at first? What was brought up after? Because I see a lot of myself in your story, coming from an abusive relationship, being very uncomfortable with myself, with my body, and just going from being like broken down like that to start to empower yourself, it usually, or in me, it like a lot of feelings started rising up and I started questioning a lot. And then to go from that to this empowered, or as empowered as you are today, like how did that journey go?
I think in the beginning it was less about the nakedness. It was an element, but at the time on my Instagram I was like sharing my reflections of like what was kind of falling apart or what I was thinking about, and I would share like the raw vulnerability in my stories of just like, this is what's going on, this is what I'm writing about, this is what I'm thinking about. And I got really good feedback about that. And I would post like some pictures as well, just like really simple mirror selfies. But that just was like a background to everything else. But the mirror also, because I had like just suddenly trimmed down a little bit, I was like, oh, wow, look at that. And I didn't fully see the results of my hard work of training unless I looked into the mirror. And so it was just kind of this recognition of myself and seeing myself. And if I would go too long without sitting in front of the mirror, I would almost forget what I looked like. And I think because we're so busy and we're running around and we're very often fully clothed, then we're not really taking the time to fully see ourselves as we are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with the mirror, because I did a photo shoot with you last week, and then we were working a lot with the mirrors. And I remember that when we were sitting there and I was naked in your room. And I've never really either been comfortable being naked. I haven't been comfortable in photos with clothes on.
I know.
You know that, Johanna.
I know that.
Yes, for sure. But it was something with it felt comfortable being naked with you, and we put the mirror kind of behind me, so it became a reflection. Mm-hmm. And since we never really see ourselves from the behind, and I turned like my head over and I saw the mirror and I'm like, whoa, damn. I'm like, do I look like that from behind? And I was and I'm like, wow, that's nice. I look nice. And it was so oh, it was really like an aha moment. So I see exactly what you mean. This but I think when I have looked myself in the mirror for a longer time now, I haven't really been comfortable sitting with myself naked in front of my mirror and having a coffee or doing journaling and stuff like that. But we do forget what we look like, and we I don't know, it's something like,
and we usually pick apart and like look at those things that we don't like.
Yeah, exactly. That was what I was going to come to.
Yeah,
that at first time when you kind of like look at yourself, it's kind of like, oh my God, wait, what? Has that been there the whole time? Or, oh my God, what is this? And but I can see the sense of meditation for sitting like for a longer time and like easing into your own skin in a way, and like seeing the journey that your body has been through.
Definitely.
and celebrating it. And that was what I thought was so beautiful with the photo shoot, that it was really about celebrating. You were even like, is there any body part or anything that you would like to celebrate through this? And I'm like, I haven't really thought about, should I celebrate something here? And then it's like, of course I should. I thought that was so beautiful. Like, you have a very beautiful view of nudity, that it can, you know, like an outlet or a tool to honor life and everything you've been through, and create art with your body, or realizing that your body is art. That's kind of the sense that I get from looking at your photos or participating in the photo shoot, that it's really like, no, but your body is art. You don't really need to do much, but it's a work of art.
Yeah, it really is. And it's actually like a little like intertwined with what we talked about in the last episode, that we take our bodies for granted a lot. The fact that we can see, the fact that we can hear, the fact that we can smell, taste, feel, all of those things. And once again, we have a tendency to be very critical towards ourselves. And because of societal standards of how, in our case, women should look like, but also what men should look like. Because it's not as normal to go around naked, and you shouldn't be that stuck up to like yourself naked, because then you have too much of a confidence. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. So it's like, how did you go from like that morning routine to like taking pictures of and like really like getting into, yeah, like
or making the photo shoot. Making other people.
Exact. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for translating. When I'm like,
yeah,
I love
yeah,
that.
I know. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I see what you're up yes. to here, girl.
How did you start with embracing yourself naked to then shifting to make other people enjoy nakedness or sitting with themselves or discovering, you know, the beauty with themselves?
This has been such a long journey, and it's taken a lot of time for this to actually shift into other people.
Yeah.
And part of that has been that I've had a hard time to get people to be open enough to...
Especially in Sweden, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting as a foreigner coming in, because from the outside, Sweden is seen as super progressive across a broad spectrum of areas. And one of the first things I thought coming to Sweden was, oh, everyone's naked all the time. Because you have the sauna and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been really surprised at how many no's I've gotten. And so my beginning of the... No. The beginning of my... nude work with Morning Coffee coincided also with an introduction into BDSM. Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're like, yes.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yep, we're ready. We're so damn ready.
There's so many layers.
Yeah.
So when I was initiated into BDSM, in an intimate context, I was also in the process of having left this abusive relationship and then entering into something that felt like, oh, this could be misconstrued as also being some sort of abuse as well.
Yeah.
And I was really confused. I had an identity crisis about it. And I was like, how is this okay? And I felt like I was putting myself into situations where I was asking to be a victim. Because I was moving from this to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of research. I read a book called Different Loving, and it breaks down like power dynamics and the intellectual layers and spiritual layers and emotional layers that are beneath this. And I saw it more as a tool for empowerment and for healing, and people who identify in the bedroom to be submissive are actually in control.
Yeah.
And it really taught me how to create boundaries in a better way so that I could feel comfortable standing up for myself and saying, this is okay, this is not okay. Because when it comes to consent in a sexual context, you have to be clear if there is a certain level of intensity.
Yeah.
And so often in our lives, we don't even communicate that consent in work relationships or friendships. We don't communicate to people.
We don't communicate our boundaries to people.
Yeah, we don't.
I think that's very typical for females. And because we're supposed to be submissive in a toxic way.
I really like when you just said, because it really got me thinking now when you just said that in the role of submissive, you still have control. Would you like to explain a bit more about that? Because I think that that's a very interesting, because if you just look briefly on it, it's like, nah, it's the one that is dominant that has control over what's going on. But a little bit deeper into how can a submissive, like in the BDSM context, have control?
Absolutely. I think it's so, like, if you look at mainstream topics around BDSM and where that has come from, I feel like things like 50 Shades of Grey really watered down what it actually should be and what it should look like. And if you go beneath it, if you go into a power dynamic where someone is dominant and someone is submissive, then you have to outline what is a soft boundary versus a hard boundary. If you are communicating as the submissive person, you have to be very clear what is okay and what is not okay. And the dominant person probably is going to be okay with most things because they're in that power position and they're kind of doing what they want with you. So they don't really have hard boundaries, generally speaking, to communicate. But as a submissive, you have all the power because once a line is crossed or it's getting close to cross, then you can give your code word or your safe word and say, nope, this isn't okay. So you are actually the one who's in control. Nothing can go outside of your consent.
That is actually beautiful, especially coming from like a relationship or relationships in your life, like speaking for myself, where you didn't have any, like where I didn't have any boundaries at all. I had to learn how to put up boundaries. And as you say, like movies like 50 Shades and this like 365 days, I don't know if you've seen that. Yeah, don't watch it. I'm like, no, don't watch it. No, but they have, it's a total, it's not a healthy, that's actually abusive, an abusive relationship. But when you have consent from both parts, it is so empowering to be in a relationship or a intimacy, like an intimate situation with someone where it's like understanding, consent and respect. It's like one of the most empowering things, especially coming from like a place where you have no boundaries at all. Especially also doing it in intimate situation, because that's when we're at our most vulnerable, so to say.
Yes,
because you have also been working a bit with rope therapy.
Yes. So where this was going as far as the photo shoots and getting other people involved is that a few months after I began this work, I was super interested in like, oh, the power dynamics and the intellectual layers and everything that I had read about. And so I had a profile somewhere and it said something about like the power dynamics and being interested in BDSM. And then I was contacted by someone when I was living at the Grand Canyon for a little bit, and they're like, oh, I'm doing a road trip and looking to tie people up for along the journey of this road trip. Are you interested? And I've never been tied. And so what we're talking about here is shibari. So it's Japanese rope bondage, which if you Google is probably going to be showing you very explicit pictures and humiliating poses. And that is not the level of shibari that I'm interested in, but it's more simple. I've tried to romanticize it. And so for this first shoot, it was overlooking the Grand Canyon, and I could just see like the ravens dancing below and the shadows move across like the landscape. It was so beautiful. I'd never done anything like this before. And the tying took a really long time because it was quite complex patterns that he was doing.
Is it kind of like a ritual when you do it as well, that it's like kind of soothing doing it? Or
it's like, very soothing. Yeah. I'd never experienced.
Because I can imagine that almost like you're just doing some sort of hand
art.
Work. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
kind of like when you're knitting or something and you like come into a flow of like, and like.
I have thought of it as exactly kinky knitting.
Kinky knitting.
I love that.
I love that
word.
I've never knitted before, but in my mind, I'm like, I think it's quite relaxing. And I imagine and I imagine that doing that on a body is very similar.
But continue.
Yes.
Yeah, continue. I'm like, sorry, that was just
me too.
Alice, so, I'm just kidding.
Sorry. It was the knitting. Yes. So take us back to Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon. Yes. The shadows.
Yeah.
Just floating across the landscape.
Yeah.
I'd never experienced such a meditative experience. And it just completely dropped me into my body. I couldn't do anything because I was tied up, literally.
And
so there was no to-do list in my mind. I was just forced to be fully in the moment and fully present. And it was just pure bliss. It was incredible. And so I got hooked on it and I was like, I need to do more photo shoots with this.
When you're tied there, is it like, does anything else happen, or do you just lay there and just focus on your breath, or how does it work?
Yeah,
it was, I assume it can look different depending on.
Yeah, depending on the context. We did mainly standing poses, I think. And then I think we did a partial suspension. So there was a little bit of weight being carried from the rope attached to the tree. So it wasn't a full suspension. But usually it's just, this is where the submissiveness comes in, is that I don't really do anything. The important thing for anyone being tied is awareness of your body and like how different sensations feel. So the rigger, who is the person tying the ropes, then it's his or her responsibility to understand where there are nerves that can be dangerous if they're pinched. And there's a variety of them all over the body. So then for me, then I just feel like it's my responsibility to know, okay, is my hand going numb? Is it tingling? And if it's falling asleep, that's fine. But if it feels like it's like catching on fire,
then it's a no. Abort mission. Abort mission.
So it's a lot about being in communication, and riggers often, as they're tying you, they might remind you and say, can you wiggle your thumbs? Because usually the first thing to be tied is going to be your wrists.
Okay.
So you're helpless from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so it's just always checking in.
So after this experience, you started to practice shibari yourself?
No, I'm still in the process of learning. I've just bought my own custom ropes. And so this year, that is a goal, so that I can learn to tie and I can provide body work for people. Because a lot of the journey with this has been, I can see this as a therapeutic thing to do for people. And I, in the beginning, I was like, okay, I can be a bridge between the dungeon and the vanilla world. Because I can go and meet people who are doing these things in really cold cellars and dark places and see and hear about things that I don't really want to, but I can filter it. And so I can see that I can put myself in these kind of sometimes uncomfortable situations that most people would probably not really do. And so then they wouldn't get to see the benefits of shibari or something, because that's also in a very sexual context usually. And so I'm really interested in how it can be applied to calm the nervous system instead. And so it can be.
Johanna is all about
I'm all about the nervous system.
As soon as you say nervous system, Johanna's like,
No, seriously, that is amazing. Because just to, because we have a tendency as human beings to put things into boxes, to put different things that you do, different people, everything belongs into boxes, according to a lot of people. And just to be that gray zone area of finding something else or another way of working with this in order to help people. That is incredible, because that's what's needed, because we all have different needs when it comes to how to calm down our nervous system, how to go through different therapeutic sessions or way. And therapeutic sessions doesn't have to be therapy. It can be different methods.
And I'm thinking of, because I studied Marma massage. I don't know if
you
heard it. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, so that's like an Ayurvedic type of massage. Uh-huh. And it works with acupressure points in different areas of the body. And it's usually in those areas that like bone and bone meet or the tendons meet. Mm. And it's sensitive spots. So for instance, it can be right underneath like where the calf muscle is split.
Yeah.
Like sensitive points in your body or in the center of your chest, like your solar plexus, like right underneath. And these points were used for martial arts to localize where can I probably kill or injure a person. Mm. So these are so sad. And like the spot in the top of the head or like in between the eyebrows. And you're using these points in the Marma massage, but for a therapeutic purpose. So you can use them if you use like a lot of pressure in them to really hurt or kill.
Yeah.
But if you're putting light pressure on there, it can like have tremendous benefit for just relaxing the muscles, calming down the nervous system. And I really like that things that can be toxic or hurting, it can also be shifted to therapeutic, that it's about what kind of intention you have with what you do.
Definitely. Yeah. So what are you doing right now with all of this, like all of this information and the knowledge and the insights and the reflections that you've gathered throughout this journey?
If we rewind a little bit, it went from the nude morning coffee reflections. That was just simple sitting in front of the mirror, sometimes a tasteful selfie. And then that evolved. Then that led me to being tied for my first Shibari shoots. And then that led to me seeing the photos of like hobbyist photographers. And with my photography background, I was like, well, this is amazing, but I could have taken a much better picture.
Mm.
And so then that began wanting to get other people tied. But I had a very specific person that I wanted tied. I wanted athletic physiques, and I wanted people who weren't necessarily active within the kink community. I wanted normal people, so to say. And I wanted to romanticize kink. So I wanted to weave flowers into the ropes and have really soft light and make it look romantic so that it wasn't intimidating and it didn't carry the feeling of latex and leather and whips and dungeons.
Mm.
So I wanted to add a different look to it, but I couldn't find anyone to get tied up for me. Mm. And so then this somehow transferred over then to doing landscapes with the nature, where I would set up a timer and a tripod, and then I would just continue my nude work. But then the nude work was elevated to be beyond just selfies and to actually become art. Mm. So then that's been how it has been growing the last few years. And that became a meditation as well. So I would just take my camera, my tripod, coffee, a journal, and I would walk through the forest, go on a little bit of a mini mindful hike and look at the trees and the rocks, and I'd figure out how I wanted to shape my body according to the nature. Mm-hmm. And then how I would play with my body and shape it, then I also felt was an expression of power dynamics. So I could feel the power dynamics within myself, like a more primal masculine, a more divine feminine, and I could take up space if I wanted to feel more powerful in a picture, or I could be small and surrender into the nature. So that became another exploration on a more personal one-on-one level with myself.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. And especially like working with nature, that I think
and also
it's
being able to see that happening in a picture.
Yeah.
That is kind of like you're capturing it as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because nature is art itself. And to mix that with your body, which is also a part of nature, which is also art itself, that is like the ultimate type of creativity, if you ask me. It's like mixing the best of both worlds and just like, yeah, just mixing it together and just making a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But have you just done this with and for women or for men as well?
I've photographed a couple men.
Yeah.
I would like to do more. I find it easier to photograph women because it feels like a lot of shaping the body. If we're looking at masculine and feminine, it feels like it's a lot more soft poses that are more curvy. And the female body, for me, is easier to imagine with posing and framing and composition. Whereas if a man is going to want to look powerful, I have a harder time envisioning like how to pose that in a tasteful, classy way that's not just like flexing biceps.
Here I have muscles. I'm standing on a rock having 100%. Muscles.
100%. Yeah. No, I hear you on that. But how is the, because I know you, as you said before, you photographed Alice. Yes. But how is the, like the people that you meet, how are their like reactions to these photo shoots and the tying for those of you for those that you do that for and stuff like that? How's their experience in this?
The experience is amazing. I've been really excited to witness each photo shoot and each person's experience because it's all been so unique and individual. Even from the point where I suggest the idea to someone and then they think about it, from that point, it's always unique. And then it unfolds in their decision process to move forward. And then we meet for the shoot and there's the conversation. And it's so interesting what we talk about. Like, I photographed a girl from Spain, so we talked about how normal it is to be topless. And so I find it really intriguing about how many layers there are with societal conditioning, with nudity, what our culture has said is okay.
I love when you asked me for the photo shoot because you've been going to my yoga classes for a little bit. And then after class, you said, oh, I have a question, but promise me you won't feel awkward. And I'm like, I can't promise that before you ask me. And then it was kind of like straight to it. Like, yeah, I would like to take naked photos of you. And I was like in a heartbeat. I was like, yeah, sure. I don't know. It was something with, it felt like there was no hesitation with me saying yes to that. I wouldn't say yes to anyone, but it's something with you that makes you feel very safe, or I feel very safe around you, even though we didn't know each other so well. I was kind of like, yeah, this feels like it comes from the right place, and just with empowerment and honoring the body and creating. I mean, your pictures are so, so beautiful. Yeah, we will also link your Instagram in the comments so everyone can have a look, because it's so amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, how have the other people reacted, like when you ask them?
When I ask them, it's all been very interesting. Usually it comes out as, how would you like to get naked for me?
I love the unfilteredness, though, because it's same, like straight to the point.
Same. Yes. Yeah, you know I love that.
Yes.
Just straight up honest.
Yes.
And usually I'm pretty good at filtering. Like, I'll take time over days or weeks getting to know people, and then I can kind of gauge intuitively, like, is this person fairly comfortable with their body or open-minded? And it can usually go pretty well. But as I've been thinking about leaving the country, I've had less time. And so then my filter has kind of disappeared.
I'm on a schedule here. Exactly. So do you want to get naked or not? Okay, no. Okay. Next
on
person.
On to the next. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I'm sorry.
So it's sorry. Created some awkward moments.
Do you want to share one?
Yeah.
Well, I went to my yoga teacher's birthday party a few weeks ago, And he kind of knew the project, and I'd asked him, like, oh, do you know any women who might want to get naked for me? And he's like, well, I'll think about it, but you can come to my birthday party, and then we can ask everyone there. So then I went, and I'm just in this little corner and spending time there for the evening. And then I was going to leave, and there's all this half a table of people, like 10 people I didn't even talk to or meet. And so I got up to leave, and I was like, well, nice to see you. I haven't met any of you, but would anyone like to get naked for me before I leave? And, and everyone just kind of stared at me, and I was like, crap, this is not the reaction that I was going for. Like,
and also, before I leave, yeah, like, before I leave the party.
I haven't spoken to any of you, but I love that. I love that. If I would have sit there at the table, I would have been like, I volunteer as a tribute.
Exactly.
Was that what you were going to say?
Me and Johanna, we're
the yoga teachers.
Yeah, we're the yoga. We volunteer as
we
tributes.
We volunteer as tributes.
That would be perfect. Because it was just kind of blank stares. And I was like, at least you could giggle nervously. But there was nothing. But then... then someone was like, oh, well, I've kind of done some fine art modeling before. And I was like, oh, I can show you pictures. So I showed them some examples. And then everyone's then leaning over the table and they're like, oh, wow, these are amazing. Mm. And then one girl pulled me aside and she's like, I might be interested, but I want to talk privately. And I was like, oh, great.
Mm. One. Yes.
I got one. Yeah. Actually, I got two.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
very good.
Yes.
Yeah, but I guess that's the thing as well that that is so interesting with the, like, I might be interested, but I don't want everyone to know that this is something that I could potentially be doing. Mm. That what would other people think of me?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And I had one person who had told her coworkers about it before coming, and they're really judgmental, but she still decided to do the shoot, which I thought was really cool, because you could also be so turned off by the judgment.
Definitely, because there are a lot of judgments, because I know that, I do a lot of cold breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like to do it naked, because... Mm-hmm. First and foremost...
Oh, here you have a candidate for a naked
ice bathing photos.
No, but it, honestly, if you have... I don't know. You never cold bathe. Sorry.
No, God, I hate cold.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I started. Because I don't want to do... Like, I don't want to fear anything
in
life.
That is too woke for me. I can't. Sorry. I still want to be a bit
cold. No, but I started because I'm always freezing. And I hate the cold. So that's why I was like, okay, but I don't want to fear the cold. So that's why I just started doing it. And it was like 2 years ago now. But having clothes on, even like bathing clothes, when you do cold bathing, it just adds to the cold. It really does. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, then I better just do it naked. And it actually works. And then, like, coming from the background that I have, it's way more natural and accepted. Like, my mom always had nude art on her walls. I have nude art at my place. Yeah. It has always been very natural. But once again, I don't come from a typical Swedish family, because my parents are immigrants. Mm-hmm. So it's a totally different thing. But when people see that I'm, like, they're like, are you naked when you do cold bathing? I'm like, yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be?
Exactly. And they're like, no, but what if someone sees you? And I'm like, yeah, it's a body. You know, we all have it. We might look a little different, but it's still just a body. Like, if someone gets offended by me, like, by seeing me naked for 2 seconds, like, honestly, I think it's more of their problem than my problem in that case. Yeah. You can always look away if that's the problem. Yeah. But it is...
Like projecting their uncomfortableness on you. Like,
definitely.
How could that person go around being naked? Oh, my God.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know, like, our photographer that did the cover shoot, Chiara, she always, like, she's also Italian, but she always sunbathes topless, and I'm like, you go, and it's because it's just boobs. Like, why are people so like turned on or turned off or just provoked by boobs.
But isn't that the problem, that it is not just boobs these days?
But it is just boobs.
Yes, but
of course,
I mean,
like the
all
female
the
body,
like of it. That yes, you are absolutely right. That when it comes down to it, it is just boobs. It is just the body.
Yeah,
for sure. And that is what we're embracing.
But it's so sexualized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I would love to ask you, Savannah, the difference in your point of view. What's the difference between being sexual and sensual?
I love this topic.
Mm.
I think that sensuality is something that is inside all of us, and it's more about the relationship that we have with our own body. Mm. And as I've been stepping into this work with a more potent focus the last few months, I've been thinking how to shift my coaching, because it was very focused on more masculine power and strength and pushing people's limits and pushing potential. And then I felt like as I stepped into the Beast Goddess Project, is what it's called, that I needed to bring a softer feminine element to it. And so I was thinking of something like sensual embodiment. And to me, that was more about like feeling your skin beneath your fingertips. You can have the mirror work where you're just looking at your body. You can touch yourself in a non-sexual way. You could do gua sha on your face. You could do dry brushing on your legs. And you're activating the feeling of touch in your body. And it's, to me, sensual can be shared with someone else. But at the core, it's about your relationship to your body and being familiar with it and being accepting of it. And then that acceptance eventually can turn into a celebration over time. And then sexuality, I think, then is the next layer. So if we build that foundation of our sensuality with ourselves and our relationship with ourselves, then we can bring sexuality into it. And then that can be more about pleasure and something erotic and to be shared with an intimate partner.
No, but that makes a lot of sense, because usually we start on the other end. We start with a sexuality and getting like sexually active at most people at an early age without having that stability and sensuality in ourselves, which puts a lot of people in abusive situations, both like internally within themselves, but also like amongst other or with other partners. So starting, like, as you say, like you set the foundation with the sensuality to then build it on with the sexuality, to have everything aligned and balanced in a way. That makes a lot of sense.
It feels like when I think of sensuality, I get this kind of soft, intuitive, but grounded, I don't know how to describe it, but I see it as someone who is very grounded in your own skin, kind of. That we are, yeah, Johanna, raising the hand. Yes, tell me.
I think the sensuality is more of the earth and water. The sexuality is more of the air and fire. Am I onto something?
My God, you are. I just got a bit of goosebumps.
Beautiful.
And
thank
then
you.
I know
I'm done.
That, no, but yeah, it's a beautiful, that I see kind of just like you described with the elements, that is kind of like this fluidity of being aware of how you move and how you speak. And you can do that in a grounded sense, because someone that is like, oh, hey, yeah, hi, how's it going? Yeah, I don't see the I don't see the sensuality in that, but I see someone who is so like deeply rooted and like smooth. That is kind of like this smooth but stable kind of appearance,
yeah.
Whereas sexuality can just be like, boom.
More
get
edgy.
Down on your knees. No. Oh, that was. Wow, I don't know where that came from, but it's more like, yeah, that it feels a bit more sharp,
yeah,
in
yeah.
a way,
but in a beautiful way, in a beautiful sense as well, because if you look at
yeah, I'm
fire yeah. and air, they're also very. It can be like there's some hard edges, like when there's a storm, it can be like edgy. Same with like you can burn on a fire, but they're still flowy, so they still have that sensuality, but with more edge. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
In my head, it makes sense because I have like a picture in front of me.
I see the picture too. I see it too. Yeah.
But what would you recommend to a person that is uncomfortable with their own or in their own body? Like how to start working with yourself and getting comfortable being naked?
Mm. You're like, get naked.
Just do it. Yeah. Just get naked. Yeah. I don't see what the problem is. No, I think so much of it is about just taking time to pause. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even have to get naked, but you have to just slow down, get rid of all the distractions, and just be alone with yourself. Because I think at the root of it, that is the bigger problem, is you're constantly running around, especially if you live in an urban environment. Mm. You're just doing one thing to the next. You don't have buffers of time between all your obligations. And it's just this constant wheel turning of obligation and people and things. And then in those in-between moments, you're on Instagram, you're scrolling through your phone, you're playing games, you're totally distracted. And so I see a lot of people who don't even know how to be alone with themselves. And they're using people as a safety net or distractions to fill the space in their head. Because what will happen if they pause and they're alone with themselves and they don't like the thoughts that come up or the feelings that come up? So before you even get naked, it's just about like, how can you just build the relationship with yourself that's not dependent on external factors and people and things.
And validations
yes.
from others around you instead of validation from yourself. Mm-hmm. That is probably one of the most dangerous things we can do in that sense, that it's not coming from within. Like external validation is just like an extra validation for what you already know. It's just supposed to be, like, according to me, a mirror of what you already know in yourself. And that is when you found, like, true empowerment, when you don't depend on other people's validation. Because then you can actually work, like, nitty-gritty with those parts of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I said in my yoga classes this week, I love all parts of myself, even the parts that my mind has tried to convince me that I don't love. Mm-hmm. And beautiful. It is because that is just your mind trying to convince you, the society trying to convince you that you don't love this part of yourself. Yeah. But it's perfect. Nothing is perfect, but it's perfect the exact way that it is. Like, you don't have to change your body. You don't have to lose weight in order to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling of being beautiful. Mm. Not looking beautiful in the eyes of the beholder. You're the beholder. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does. And that's also the thing, that people can also tell you how beautiful you are, or how, like, both physically and mentally. But then if you don't believe that, then it's kind of like empty words.
Yeah.
That is kind of like, yeah, but, you know, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. what you think. And you're probably lying and just trying to make me feel better. Like, the brain is making up stories of, like, no, but there should be, how can I be fully, like, accepted of everything that I am? Then it must be something wrong with me, because everyone is going around and having their issues with either a body part or maybe thoughts or emotions. And then it's like, if I don't have anything to complain about, then it must be something wrong with me, because there must always be a part of me that I don't like. right? Like,
yeah. Like it's part of the normal experience
yeah.
to talk down to yourself. And if you don't, then you are some flavor of arrogant or vain.
Yes.
Yes.
I was thinking of this the other day, actually. Like, I think it can be perceived as being so arrogant, especially in Sweden, where you have Lagom and Jantes Law, and you're not supposed to be better than anyone. And so how arrogant it would be to get naked and celebrate yourself. But, like, and so that would be considered vanity. But on the flip side, I think it's more vain if you are buying really expensive designer clothes to look good. Like, that to me is so much more vain than just being a naturally naked human.
Yeah, because that once again comes from an external source making you feel pretty. Mm-hmm. Not the fact that there's nothing wrong with clothes and making yourself feel pretty, but it's just once again an external factor that makes you feel pretty instead of you being the
pretty, you being just pretty. As you are.
You being pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't. Basically, that you are complete and whole as you are, that you don't need to look expensive in order to feel expensive, yeah. that you are kind of expensive just as you are
yes.
in your own skin. Yeah. It's not in the clothes you wear. It's not in the work title that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about, you know, what you actually experience about yourself.
And, like, what if you are putting all the clothes on and the clothes are making you feel good and that's giving you confidence? How much better would you look or feel if you are feeling confident when you're naked? And then you add those layers on. Like, your confidence, your posture, I imagine, is going to just completely change and you'll become so much more radiant.
Well, that makes me think of Marilyn Monroe. Do you remember that everyone was like, oh, yeah, but she's just wearing, like, pretty clothes and, like, walking around with, like, the boobs out and, like, it shapes her body and everything. And we're saying that, yeah, it's because, you know, she's having these nice clothes that she looks so nice. So she put on a potato sack and did a photo shoot. Yes. Uh-huh. It was such a boss move. So she put on a potato sack and did like a really nice photo shoot and she looked like the bomb. And everyone and everyone was like, okay. We'll be quiet now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
because she had the confidence and was like, who the fuck are you guys to?
It's like it's ugly being confident. It's like it's ugly having a high self-esteem and high confidence, which,
or it's ugly being comfortable.
It's ugly being comfortable with yourself, and like, how is that even possible? Like, isn't that one of the most beautiful gifts we can give ourselves? To just be like, this is me, and I love me for being me, and I'm gonna walk out and show up and take up space that is mine. Isn't that like? The most, but maybe that's the problem, that they are empowered and we live in a disempowering or a society that lives on or like thrives on disempowered people.
But if I can spin onto that, because your Instagram is shadow banned.
My Instagram is shadow banned.
It is a joke.
It got fully taken down in September for 5 weeks as well.
Why? Do we know why?
Probably censorship.
And why is art being censored?
That is a wonderful question. I don't know. If you look at this week, I was looking at a couple different things and I saw an Instagram account and it was quite a big account and it posted both partially nude men and partially nude women. The women always had underwear or lingerie on. The men, I don't know if they had anything on, but they were like always shirtless or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you would just see the full torso and chest. And you could see in the number of likes, you could see that the photos of men were reaching a lot more people than the photos of women. Because now you have that option too on Instagram. When you post something, you can hide how many likes it shows.
Yeah.
And so I've seen a lot of nude or fine art or boudoir photographers hiding the like counts, I believe, because they aren't getting that many likes. And so they don't want people to see. So on this account I saw, then pretty much all the photos of women, the like count was hidden. And then the men was like 10,000 likes. And I used to get like so much engagement on my photos, like at least over 500 likes on pictures. Mm. And then when I've posted more recently, it's like 40.
Yeah. No, it's actually the same with my Instagram. And it's, I'm
Are you
not
also
even
shadow banned.
No, I'm not shadow banned, but my account is not reaching as many people. And this is so like.
How do you know that?
Because I used to have like over 100 likes per post, and now I'm having like 30-40. So it's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that doesn't matter because this is so damn important to talk about, because when it comes to almost like soft porn accounts on Instagram,
they're perfectly fine.
They're perfectly fine, because now I'm going to be very provocative. Not to you guys, but to the audience. When there are soft porn videos or pictures for the pleasure of men.
Yep.
It is not censored. It is not censored at all. But when it comes to empowering nude art and open sexuality, especially regarding women and the female body, it is censored directly. Yep. It is a joke. I've seen this so many times, and it is a damn joke, because when it's porn, it's fine. When it's art and sexuality and just empowering, it's like, we cannot have this on Instagram, because then women will think that they can get empowered, and we cannot live in a society where women are empowered. That is exactly what they're saying. You see, I get really like, I get, ugh. Mm. This is a joke.
This is exactly why I have not focused fully on this work for so long, because I would get censored. I only started really focusing fully beginning in December, because I had a conversation with someone and I was like, oh, the beast goddess, blah, blah, blah. And he just perked up and he's like, that's your brand. And I was like, well, it has been for a few years, but I haven't been focusing on it. It's a side thing. I don't show my face with it. It's this anonymous kind of side brand. Mm. But since that conversation, I've been focusing on it. And I was like, oh, this is my purpose, like nudity and primal human nakedness. And then a few weeks later, I had something censored and I got so fucking mad. And I was like, God damn it. This is why I keep stopping doing this work. But then it just felt so powerful. And I was like, no, I have to push through it this time and not get angry about it the best I can and just breathe through it. But also more recently as well, you would think Google should be a neutral party.
I made
a new Google business profile, and I added some like landscape photos of me with like mountains, and I'm on a rock and my butt is showing in a very tiny portion of this beautiful landscape, and like my back, and that's it. And I have a few photos like that up, and then I uploaded one of like a full frontal male nude. And he's in the water, and it's more close up, like his body is the picture, and there's lily pads in front of his genitals. And all of my female photos have been hidden from Google. But that one, the one of the man, is still staying up and getting engagement.
I see.
But this is why we can't stop. This is why we can't give up.
Yeah.
This is exactly why we can't give up. Because if we give up and give in to this, it is that is accepting defeat. That is 100% accepting defeat. It's I always say that, and I said that before we started today, like what you're doing will reach the right people at the right time. In with the censorship, sure, it might take a little longer, but in the end, we're fighting for something that is so much bigger than just Instagram will ever be. And just to put that energy out there, that's the only thing that matters. Doing it with the intention and doing it with it, with the energy that we're doing and putting it out there, that's enough. Even though the engagement is not huge right now. Because what we're doing as women, as women, like when it comes to this, when it comes to empowering women all over the world, the more we do, the more results we'll see, even though they might be slow right now, because there is a huge censors on Facebook, Instagram. I even think like TikTok, Google, you name it. It is crazy, but we can't stop. No. We can't.
No, we can't.
Yeah.
It's too important.
And that was also what you said to me, Savannah, after I was after we had the photo shoot, and I said, "Oh, would it be okay to post any on Instagram?" And you were like, "Yep, but you'll probably be shadow banned." maybe we should explain for if someone doesn't know what shadow banning what that means.
I don't know the official definition of shadow banning, but for me, it is that if I use hashtags, they won't show up when you click on the hashtag, the photo won't show up. And then also more recently, now my account won't show up if you search for it. So one of my main account, if you search, like, usually if you start typing in an account, then a suggestion will pop up of like, oh, I probably should, like, it will probably be this account because it's related to the other accounts you follow. But you have to type my entire name into the account. It's not going to show up as a suggestion.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And that's very, like, I know a lot of big accounts when it comes to female sexuality, Tantra, and stuff like that. They're all shadow banned, which is crazy since they're not shadow banning soft porn.
It is
weird, and but there's an agenda there, but we don't have to get into that because it's too big of a topic.
It is too big of a topic,
yeah,
for sure.
But for our listeners, like, if you want to get more comfortable in your own body, is there anything else that you would want them to bring from this episode? Like, any advice you could give?
I think just deepening the relationship with your body and yourself and your mind, like, really taking care of your mental health is really important. So when you integrate the pauses into your life, just start to be more conscious of all the choices that you're making, and don't, like, try to remove the automated response and automated reaction from your patterns, and look at, like, do I really want to do this? Is this aligned with what I want, or am I forcing something that's not in aligned with who I am and the path that I want? And really look at boundaries. And we live our lives dictated by rules, and those rules are so often subconscious. So this also applies to the boundaries of what is okay for me, what isn't okay for me. And we can receive rules from our society or from family or from relationships. And it's not even like a clear, oh, you have to do this in order to get that. But it can be in the look you receive if you talk about something. It can be in the tone of voice from somebody. You can look at an example of, I have to go to the gym 6 times a week in order to feel healthy. And then that's going to make me feel happy. And so then can you look at that rule and say, is that rule actually going to support my happiness, or is it going to limit my happiness? Mm. How hard is it to feel that positive feeling? Whereas we have other rules where it's like, in order for me to feel bad, I have to be rejected by someone. And then we make it so much easier for us to feel that bad feeling. So that's a very basic context to look at. What rules do we have set up that allow us to feel certain ways? And then we can say, okay, how can we shift this? What will allow us to feel more freedom in our life? And I think that that can be such an important thing, because we're just so automated with our routines and our patterns and our societal conditioning. we need to pause and say, why am I doing this? When did I agree to do this? Mm-hmm. Is this actually the life I want, or is there something better if I pivot and I look at it from a different perspective?
Mm. And also that the rules that we might have set up for ourselves 6 months ago, we need to sit down with ourselves and reflect, are these rules that I put up, are they still valid? Are they still, like, are those serving this version of me sitting here today?
Or even last week.
Yeah. Or even last week, or last hour.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, like, yeah. Why do we even have rules sometimes? Yeah, it's easier, but the less you constrain yourself, the more abilities, the more options you have to actually do whatever you like in life. As I said so many times before, we're limitless beings in a limitless universe. We're the only one putting rules and constraints onto ourselves. And by, as you said, not like just thinking about how we do that, we can find happiness easier in our lives and freedom in ourselves, which is gorgeous, which is exactly what we, I think, most of us want.
Yeah. To just feel comfortable and at home in our own skin. Because this surface, this is my body, this is also my home. Yeah. And I need to clean it, take care of it, and sit down with it and give it some care and love in order to feel at home. And I guess that's part of the process.
Yeah. Too. And I love that you said the importance of like revisiting your goals and your dreams and your rules. And I believe that is such an important part of life, is giving yourself permission to change and entering into relationships where that change is celebrated. Because if you're in a partnership, then you need to support each other growing instead of holding each other back. And so having that openness to communicate where you're headed, and is that still in alignment with where the other person is headed with your different growth, is such an important thing and can be really empowering for a relationship as well. Because at the end of the day, we're going to all die alone. And then is it going to be a life that you loved, or is it going to be a life that you lived for other people?
That is such
I think we're going to leave all
of that. I was saying that. I was like, that is the greatest quote to leave off.
Definitely. So thank you so, so much for coming here, Savannah.
Thank you.
And sharing all this.
Of course. Yeah. It has been a pleasure.
So grateful. So humbled. Mm. And we hope that each and everyone can get naked more often after this.
Yes. Exactly.
Let's get naked.
Let's get naked.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.